get wired, then you're listening to M7K. You're listening to Wired.
This is Wired Tech Podcast. M7K and Speak Your Mind.
Hey, you're listening to episode 4 of Wired Tech Podcast. Yeah. Still trying to decide on a solid name for the podcast. It's still fairly new, so I believe it's going to start being referred to as Wired Tech. You know, so it's nothing changes in the show. The show's still going to be the same. Just want to let everybody know that. I know I've mentioned it. I've talked about it. It's the G1 by T-Mobile that uses Android software, and it's finally out. Yes, it is. I'm not just announcing that it's out, because it's been out for a little while now, so that's not exactly what I'm announcing. People probably already know that by now, if they should anyway. But I wanted to give a little bit of the specs on the phone. The phone is 4.6 by 2.16 by 0.63 inches. So that's the length, which is the height of it, the width, and then the thickness. It features a 480 by 320 HVGA display, and it's got the 3G in it, so obviously you gotta expect that. It's got GPS and 3.1 megapixel camera. It supports up to 8 gigabytes of memory, but there's no format mentioned, so it's not like SD, mini SD, so there's no really format mentioned on the actual device. It'll feature 5 hours of talk time and 130 hours of standby. But what's really a little weird is that the phone doesn't do video. So you can't do any video capturing. I don't know. That's a little weird. And it won't even have a stereo Bluetooth. So, you know, it doesn't even have Bluetooth on it. So it's something else that's a little weird. You think you'd expect something like that from this kind of device. But you have to expect it will require, well, this is a little eh, because it will require a Gmail account. So you have to have a Gmail account with this phone. And it does use Gmail, all that, obviously. That's what you expect. It won't even be sold at a store outside of a 2 to 5 mile radius of T-Mobile's 3G coverage areas. So, you know, I don't know, but it is a 3G phone. You're going to get 3G speeds as long as you're in a coverage area, but they're going to make sure that it's in coverage areas, because like I just mentioned, they're not going to be selling it out of a 2 to 5 mile radius of the T-Mobile's 3G coverage area. So you're going to have the 3G speeds on this phone, and you know, they're going to make sure of it. So that's the T-Mobile G1 with the Android software in it. You know, pretty nice. Nice stuff that Google's released. I've seen the software. Never played around with it yet. It'd be really cool if I did, you know, for a good review. But yeah, it seems alright from what I've seen. Oh, and mention one other thing. Speak Your Mind, the other co-host, is not here, just to let everybody know. But, you know, like I said, good phone. That'll wrap that up. Something else here for all you photographer geeks out there who are into the cameras and photography, all that good stuff. Well, here's the Agfa Photo DC1338ST touchscreen digital camera. Yep, touchscreen. Everything is touchscreen on it. That's really cool. See, I've never seen a digital camera with a touchscreen on it, but I have seen digital camcorders with the flip-out screens that have the touchscreen on it. That's normal. That's something popular, but not on a digital camera. So it's pretty cool. Now here's some of the specs on it. It's 10 megapixel, so you're gonna get really nice, crisp, clear pictures. I think that's awesome. I mean, I forgot what my digital camera megapixels are, but it's not 10, so 10 is gonna be really good. What they say here is that it's not quite top of the line. I mean, it's even got the 3-inch touchscreen, smile detection, face tracking, and low-res YouTube video mode. And according to this, they're not huge selling points. What? That's what I say to that. What? Because that is a lot of stuff. 3-inch touchscreen, smile detection, face tracking, and low-res YouTube video mode. I love YouTube. If I can have a YouTube mode on this, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. My sister's digital camera, the Kodak CX something. I can't really remember the top of my head. But it's red. It's got YouTube mode on it. I think it's pretty cool. You can choose to, I think it's automatically upload when you sync it or something like that. But yeah, this camera will be around $265. Oh, and there's a non-touch screen DC1338i. This is the 1338S with the touch screen. The 1338i version is available. It's, you know, obviously not touch screen, and I don't know. And it even says here you can even expect to see it at Walgreens. Well, I wouldn't think such a high-end. Maybe that's for the non-touch version, but I wouldn't expect a touchscreen digital camera at Walgreens. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know, but here's the Agfaphoto DC1338ST touchscreen digital camera. Really cool. I'm sure you can choose up the different colors here. They have a nice, like, bluish color. I like blue, so I'd be happy with that. But and I'm going to mention this now. I will be posting links into the show notes. Most likely every link that I have. Just so you guys can read further information if you'd like. Just something to provide you guys with. So there's the touchscreen digital camcorder. Really nice camcorder, you know. Just not a lot of good camcorders out there. You know, it's that thing had like a 3x megapixel or a 3x optical zoom or something like that. You know, there's some better cameras with zooms on them, but I mean, you're sacrificing one to get the other. I've seen cameras with awesome zooms, but no quality or resolution. So, I mean, it was like a 2-megapixel camera with like an 8x megapixels or optical zoom. I keep saying megapixel, I don't know why, but 8x optical zoom. It's, I don't know, it's ridiculous, really crazy. Here's something else that's on the go here. And it does have a nice camera. This is what's supposed to be coming out. This is the suspected Asus P565. It's the Asus phone. And now, you know, if you know Asus, it's the computer company. Actually, quite popular these days with the Asus E nettop and things like that. There's nothing quite official about the phone yet. So, don't really, you know, start thinking, oh, hey, cool, Asus are going to release their phone, because it's not official. There's nothing official about it. So, you know, just to let everybody know. Here's a couple of specs on the phone itself here. It's got an 800 megahertz Marvel Tabber processor, and this is apparently the first for any phone, so this is a pretty fast processor, and it is. You know, it's going to be really, really quick. It's looking like it's a touchscreen phone here. So, you know, you're going to have your touch features, and it's going to just blaze through. So it's got the 800 megahertz processor. It's got an uncommon 2.8-inch VGA screen. That is pretty uncommon. I mean, it almost looks like the iPod Touch's screen. I believe the iPod Touch is bigger, though. I can't remember the dimensions on the iPod Touch or iPhone. But, yeah, it looks pretty similar. It's got a nice big screen. It'll go nicely with the VGA camera for video conferencing. And you'll get 3 megapixels for still images on this phone. Awesome. So, you know, it's got the video conferencing. That's pretty cool, you know. For Asus to be putting that in there, that's pretty cool. And you can also expect European HSDPA connectivity. I'm not sure what that is, But if anybody wants to translate that, or, you know, you can leave a comment or email me, m7king716@gmail.com. I don't know. It's got built-in GPS, a 1300 mAh battery that promises 3.5 hours of 3G talk time. Yeah, it's got the 3G in it. That's good. Nice little thing to add in there, because, you know, 3G really goes a long way. And it's also Windows Mobile 6.1 for the operating system. And it's got the Asus Glide software on top of it. So, Asus Glide sounds smooth, you know, stuff like that. There's no word on price or anything, but you can probably track a release for as soon as October. Yeah, that's coming right around the corner next month. In a few days, actually. In a few days. Oh, yeah. So, look for this phone in October. A few days from now. It's most likely going to be out, but like I said, nothing official about the Asus P565 cell phone. It looks nice, though. Keep your eye out for that in October. This is something that I stumbled across while looking at some of the Sony laptops, because, as you know, I talk about laptops quite often. I've talked about it in my past shows also. Here is a laptop dedicated to supporting breast cancer. So, it's the Sony VAIO CR and SR bundles. Basically, the bundles are, what you're getting with the bundle is you're getting a nice little matching case and mouse. So the color of the mouse matches the laptop, and it also matches the color of the case that you're getting with the laptop. Next month, October, is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So they're releasing these for next month, which is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's pretty cool, you know. They're pink, because, you know, the whole breast cancer awareness thing is pink. You know, if you ever bought the little ribbon magnets for your car or something like that, they look like the shape of a ribbon. So it's basically that color, pink. It's pretty cool. It's called Cosmopolitan Pink. See, now that's a tongue twister. I don't want to see you say that 5 times fast. But we got the CR and the SR pack. CR pack features the 14.1-inch LCD, 1.3-megapixel camera, Core 2 Duo CPU, Bluetooth, and built-in DVD burner. And like I said, a matching case and mouse. Also, the Sony SR, which is glossy pink, I'm supposing, and the Cosmopolitan Pink is like a matte finish, and there's a glossy pink, the Sony SR. A 4-pound rig with 13.3-inch LED backlit display, up to 320GB of hard drive space, and a switch mode that gives the user's ability to toggle between the high-performance power-saving modes on the fly. See, I've talked about this in my last episode in the Sony. It's a little switch in the upper left-hand corner above the keyboard. It says stamina and, I believe, speed. Speed and stamina. So basically, if you want speed, you just switch it over to speed. If you want longer lasting for the stamina, switch it over to stamina, and it'll go lower performance. That's awesome. So I have talked about that switch before, and I think it's pretty cool. So the two bundles start at $870 and $1399. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And I'm supposing the SR is more powerful than the CR, but it's got a smaller screen, and I believe more hard drive space. So, if it was my opinion, I'd go with the Sony VAIO SR, just because it's got the bigger hard drive space and a little bit more performance boost on it. So, something a little for breast cancer awareness in October. You'll be looking for the Sony VAIO CR and SR bundle packs. So next, let's talk a little bit about Microsoft. Now, Microsoft and Windows. They're supposed to be, Microsoft's supposed to be handing out Windows 7 pre-betas at the PDC and WinHEC. So now, everybody's seen a few screenshots of Windows 7. Everybody's, you know, seen a little bit something here and there. But, you know, Microsoft has officially announced that it'll be handing out pre-beta builds of the operating system at the both Professional Developer Conference in late October and the Windows Hardware Engineering Conference in early November. So, I don't think this is available to the general public. I believe you have to be a developer or a Windows hardware engineer in some way, shape, or form. So, you can also, there's also technical details about the operating system straight through Microsoft at PDA or PDC. So they're all going to be talking about the software, and you know, they're actually going to be giving out free copies of the pre-beta. And during the PDC, which is the Professional Developer Conference, may even give a word of actual release date. Not sure, nothing official. Don't quote my words there, but you never know. Maybe they'll be talking about release dates. It's what's being brought up. So, pre-betas of Windows 7, the new operating system. See, let me give my word on Windows 7. Windows 7 is almost nothing different from Windows Vista. If you ask me, I know there's technical aspects behind it, but it's nothing visual. I mean, mostly it's shortcuts to get to places around your computer. They make it easier to navigate, a little easier to use. The usability and functionality is easier. They bring it down to a T and made it easier for people to use. But it looks just like Windows Vista. It really does. I mean, I thought Windows 7 would change things up a little bit, you know, but, and they do have the Ultimate Editions. I'm guessing the Home Premiums, the Basic. Still going with that, I suppose. But, you know, it's just easier. Windows 7 is just making things easier to navigate, I'm guessing. Because I've seen things on Windows 7. I've read up on Windows 7. So, there you go. Late October and early November, releases of Windows 7 at the Professional Developer Conference and the Windows Hardware Engineering Conference. That's Windows 7. I thought Windows 7 would be a little bit better than what it is, but I've actually been thinking about Macs, and it's kind of scaring me because I'm kind of a Windows fanboy, so I'm thinking about Macs. It's a little crazy. Well, hey, let's get on to our next topic. Speaking of Apple and Macs and all that, we have the Rockbox 3.0 firmware. Now, this is supposed to breathe a little bit of life back into your MP3 player. About 3 years, Rockbox 3.0 finally made it on the scene here. It's basically a whole new firmware for your iPods. Now, it's kind of cool, but then again, it's not, because if you know what I mean, it's a whole new firmware. So basically you're going to be wiping your old firmware, wiping everything that your iPod Touch, or actually your iPod's got. It doesn't even support first generation iPod Touches. It's just, I don't know. I'm not really into this kind of thing, because you'd have to wipe everything that you have on your iPod. And basically, you would have to, reload the firmware and everything else. So, I mean, it's not bad, but I wouldn't use it. If you want something new and different to kind of breathe into your iPod, or kind of, I don't know really how to explain, but pretty much get the point. If you want something to be if you want to change your iPod, the visuals, everything, the visuals are completely different. How things look are just completely different. If you want to, you know, just reinstall a new, fresh, more vivid, exciting firmware, more exciting details and the looks of your iPod, then go ahead. This will do it for you. You will have completely new interface. That's what I'm getting at. That's the what I want to get at. It's a new interface. Basically wiping everything and giving you new interfaces, which is kind of cool. But and it is open source, so you know, it's got it supports iRiver and the G Mini, and there's a plugin called Roxboyd that lets you emulate original Game Boy games on your iRiver. So, I mean, it's not too bad. It's really not bad at all. See, it supports every generation of the iPod and iPod Nano. It supports, I believe it's the iPod, the iPod Mini, but it doesn't support the iPod Touch. So, I don't really, it's kind of dumb, you know what I mean? I don't really like that it doesn't support the iPod Touch. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with the iPod Touch's interface. Again, I mean, this is made for the older iPods and all that, but I mean, the fourth generation and the newest iPod Nanos, those are alright. Those just came out not long ago, so. Well, basically it's not supporting your iPod Touch. I believe it does support the second generation iPod Touch, though. I might. But check this out. You can go to, I believe it's Roxbox 3.0 or Roxbox.com. Well, let me give you some specs on this first. It's open source firmware, like I said. It's going to replace with a whole bunch of new features, including codec support for 15 formats, 15 formats like FLAC, OGG, and the 5 parametric equalizer, MPEG video, multilingual interface, and Doom, and a pile of other games. This thing will give you games and like, oh, sick games. Doom is an awesome game. I mean, and you got the freedom of iTunes. And it'll talk to you via spoken interface. That's cool. This new firmware just gives you a whole new interface. Everything looks new, like different, and it does look new. Everything looks like, you know, because the older iPods, you know, you got the interface kind of looks old, you know, oh, this is out of date. This really brings the life back into the iPod. And the spoken interface, that's cool. I think that's pretty cool. And it really comes handy for, you know, driving, you know what I mean? For wireless, for hands-free driving, so. So, you know, it's got all the expanded codecs for the audio support and stuff like that. But I believe you just go to rockbox.com. Just you can iPod it. You can Google it. Go to google.com rockbox. That's ROCKBOX. Rockbox 3.0. So really check that out, because that sounds pretty cool. I would use it, but it's not supporting my first generation iPod Touch, so. And you know, I've already talked about iPod second generation. It's nothing really, not too much that I would really buy another one. The only thing I really like about that is that it's got the external speaker. I mean, even then I could I can even manage and even go out and buy an external speaker for my iPod Touch. You know, I can compensate for that. But, you know, it's not bad. That's okay. That's perfect. I would go out and buy an external speaker if I ever needed one. Haven't found the use for one yet. But, actually, well, there was a few times where I could have used it. But, anyway. I wouldn't really go out and buy a second generation, to put it that way. To still stick with Apple here, there is a supposed MacBook Pro redesign. Now, we all really know it. Most people know that there's supposed to be a redesign in the MacBooks and stuff like that, and the laptops and the iMacs and stuff like that. There's supposed to be a redesign, but here is a release that got leaked out. There's a redesign, but there are also plenty of ways to think that this may be fake. So now I'll put this link in the show notes, but don't think that it's going to be anything official or it's even real at all. So here's some of the things that Engadget points out. It says here's 100 reasons why this may be fake. It's got the janky right corner, so I guess in the right corner somewhere it's a little odd and suspicious. The and it's also got the dock and the trackpad, which if that was real, that would be really cool. So you got the trackpad here, and then there's the dock, I believe it's an OLED or something like that, and it's got the trackpad where you can just slide your finger across. I think that's pretty cool. It's got the odd lighting and the entirely too convenient eyesight self-portrait. So yeah, it's looking a little odd. It is, but you never know. It's got everything like the Air-inspired curves on it. It does. It looks like the MacBook Airs. The curves on the MacBook Air. I'm sure most people have seen the MacBook Air. How it's nice and curved, and you know, it's got everything like that on it. The touchscreen, trackpad, aluminum and glass, and the styles. Apple's latest iMacs, and what appear to be separate keys. They're separated, I believe. So, I'm not sure. I guess that's been a slow incoming of the MacBook. So, there's zero information on the source. Most people are expecting I gotcha. Real good. Gotcha real good. So, you can read up all this here when I give you the link. Everything that I'm reading here. It's just, and you can see the picture also within the link. You can see this picture of the laptop. It's not a bad looking laptop. If it was real, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be really, really cool. But yeah, that's the supposed MacBook Air. Or MacBook Air. MacBook Air inspired MacBook Pro. That's what I should say. Here's another really intriguing thing here. It's the Samsung's 8 megapixel Pixon. And this basically is a phone by Samsung. Touchscreen, all touchscreen phone. Here's some specs on it right here. It's got an 8 megapixel camera. That is awesome. It's got a 3.2 inch touch panel. Like I said, touchscreen. 13.8 millimeter thin enclosure. That's really awesome. The 8 megapixel camera with the autofocus. Now, I didn't mention that. It's got autofocus with twin LED flash. And as people know, LEDs are really bright. And you can see up in the top right hand corner, you can see the two LEDs. I'm not sure if that's the LEDs or they're on the back. So, they're probably most likely at the back. But, it's got the face detection and shake reduction. It's got a built-in accelerometer and 7.2 megabits per second HSDPA. So that looks pretty good. I mean, they mostly talk about the camera aspects. They're not really talking too much about the phone here. I mean, it is a phone, but I guess what Samsung is trying to do here is really touch in on its camera abilities and the hardware abilities on its devices. So, you know, there's I guess there's not going to be any other details until October 2nd. So, October 2nd, I mean, it's right around the corner. I mean, October is really right around the corner. So, this is the 8 megapixel Pixon. Sounds kind of cool. Pixon. Kind of reminds me of that, the movie developers. I can't remember the name. It sounds like Pixon, though. Pixar, that's what it is. But, anyway, that's the Samsung 8 megapixel Pixon. Pretty cool phone. Looks really nice. This is really cool. It's another Apple product. It's a new dock made by Griffin. It's a Griffin Simplify iPod dock. It's got a card reader and USB hub. That's really, really awesome. So, basically, it'll not only accommodate a single iPod or iPhone, but it'll accommodate your media cards of choice. So it's looking like SD, the Magic Gate with the Sony. So yeah, it's got the SD, the Sony's, looking like the Magic Gate. I forget what format that is. Pretty cool. It's also got a USB hub on it, so it's got a few USB ports where you can hook up other devices to it. So, pretty cool. It's about $70, but also includes an AC adapter. I forgot to mention that. So anything that requires powered USB, it can be detached if it's needed, anything like that. Really, really cool. Pretty nice. Griffin Simplify iPod dock. Last thing that I wanted to mention there before I wrap things up. This is episode 4 of Wired Tech. This is M7 King. Usually I would have Speak Your Mind here, but he's out. So, thanks for watching, or listening, I should say. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for supporting, downloading, stuff like that. Catch this on iTunes, things like that. And I really appreciate all the people listening and things like that. So check out next week for episode 5 of Wired Tech. This is M7 King.
My computer.
Thanks always for listening.
My hardware.
I need help.